No, it's
walking. Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys, and all of a sudden Russ can see things out of the... You're using the Force there, Russ?
I was just seeing.
Because Matt starts drinking a beer, and then Russ says what?
Is that Guinness?
Yeah, so how would you know unless you're actually watching us?
Well, I am watching you.
Oh.
Well, that's what Matt asked earlier.
And I said, yeah, that's why I said The Shining.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, well, but the problem is the way his screen is and the way it comes in for me to look at it, it's got like a glare, so it's kind of hard to see.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
For those that want to tune into the YouTube feed, I do post it in the link in the show notes, so you can tune in and watch me drink a Guinness while The Shining plays in the background.
And Shelley Duvall is on the telly right now. But this is three stupid guys, and as you can see, as the start of this podcast, there's a reason why it's called that.
professional as always.
If you'd like to help this podcast, another podcast like it, like the Leftovers, The Broadcast, The Married Man Show, The Walking, this is The Walking Dead. I've drawn a blank on other ones. Game of Thrones.
Dancing with the Stars is coming back.
Dancing with the Stars. I was watching some of that tonight. Chris Kattan, I think he's going to be the first one voted off. Spoiler alert. He didn't look very good. Looked very, very... I didn't know he broke his neck.
Huh.
You guys know who Chris Kattan is, right?
Yeah, sure.
You can't handle a mango.
I mean, like this. So he can't do that anymore because he broke his neck. I don't know how he broke his... I have never heard that story. Or at least I forgot about it.
So is he a bad dancer?
Let's put it this way. Next to him, I'm John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
But he was he always like did some kind of dancing gig in his movies.
Yeah, but maybe breaking his neck kind of... I don't know. He can't really move his head.
And didn't that happen to Chevy Chase as well during SNL?
He hurt himself a lot. Yeah, with all his falls.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the Gerald, I don't know if he broke his neck. The Gerald Ford stuff, where poor Gerald Ford.
there was one episode. If you watch, he's hanging the star on the tree or something.
Right.
And, I mean, if you watch that fall, it looks like he bends his head in a certain way that should not happen. So
he got hurt quite a bit because he did those were, and for you kids playing at home, you have to go look up 1975 Saturday Night Live first season. Chevy Chase would always, the cold opening would always be him doing something where he falls.
But he was on a lot of cocaine, so you know that kind of helped.
Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly a lot.
Come on, it was the mid-70s. Those guys partied so hard.
Of course. We all did.
Belushi and Robin Williams were like thick as thieves back then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Back then, they still thought cocaine was good for babies, right?
and Coca-Cola.
They took it out of our soda. That was the problem.
Oh, man.
But you could go to become a patron. go to jayandjack.com. Little button says become a patron. Or if you shop Amazon, go to Amazon/jayandjack or jayandjack/Amazon, whatever it is. If you go to our website, it has all the information there. You can help us out there. But anyway, we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead. And it's called, the title of this episode was called The Other Side. And it's time to play everyone's favorite game. Did Mike like this episode? And we're going to start with Matt. Matt, did Mike like this episode?
I'm going to say no. He had a lot of jet lag. He's working on taxes for other people, and it just drug on too long.
Okay. Russ, did Mike like this episode?
I'm going to say no as well.
And I'm going to say a clean sweep it. Back sweep to the old sports talk. Sweep it. Mike did not like this episode. Mike, did you like this episode?
Sweep it. Yeah, but Jack, I'm surprised you asked the question last week and then you didn't know, even though I tweeted at you when you said, did you like it? And I said, yeah, I liked it. First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, I thought you were joking with the first time. I never know if you're serious or not. And someone already gave us a thumbs down.
Wow.
Oh, that, man, that's harsh.
That's because Matt's drinking Guinness.
What? No, it has nothing to do with Guinness. It probably has because they can't see your lovely face, Russ.
Well, you can see Russ's face. He just is. He's got that same look he always has.
I'm frozen.
So, Mike, what did, without spoiling the recap, what didn't you like about this episode?
Well, we've just gotten the energized, action-packed Carol and Morgan finally getting ready to fight. And it's like, yep, you will not see a single minute of them. We're going to slow it down, get very emotional on this week's Walking Dead.
Well, I at first thought maybe Mike would like it because there was a lot of Rosita in it, but it's
angry, upset Rosita, and she's not as attractive when she's angry, upset Rosita. Am I right?
We don't like her when she's mad.
I like the fire, man. I mean, and we got to find out that she likes to have sex for fun, so she likes to get her rocks off. So I don't know. I'm on the other side. I actually liked the episode.
And okay. I like how Rosita opened up and was talking to Sasha near the end. So instead of the one trick pony she's been for like the last 2 years.
I was still hoping that my theory would come true and she'd just shoot Sasha. or push her out the window. I was hoping.
I didn't like it.
Or maybe that's what she was tying the knots for, a little noose for Sasha. Right. I was hoping, but I didn't get that kind of ending. So,
well, that rope didn't pay off.
No. It didn't. All right, you guys ready for the amazing recap?
Do it, Jack.
All right, so we start with the Hilltoppers training to throw knives, sharpen knives, and making weapons. I was like, what was it? Like a devil's pitchfork they were trying to make or something like that?
I thought those were knives.
It looked kind of like where they were pouring the melted metal into I've been a while since I had metal shop.
A cast,
maybe that's what it is. I can't remember. So it was back in the 70s, and you know what happened in the 70s. So can't expect me to remember.
you were cheating Chong in it.
Too much Coca-Cola.
Yes, exactly. You know, when you're 13. And they're just giving it out, you know, birthday parties and stuff like that.
Yeah,
pin the tail on the nose was what we played back then.
I think it was a surprise, thing in the Happy Meals.
Pin the tail on the noses.
There you go.
I thought they were knives because then we immediately see them throwing the knives. But yeah, probably right.
It could have. I don't know. It would make more sense. It was knives, but to me, it looked like the devil's pitchfork or something like that. I was like. Okay, maybe Negan's afraid of him, but I've watched it twice, and both times I got the same impression that I go, okay, that's a weird weapon to be making. But
I kind of thought they were almost like, bayonet knives, you know, that go on the end of a gun kind of thing.
But it doesn't help. You don't have any guns.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was kind of the same.
Well, weren't those the same knives that they were all training with when Sasha was doing the thing, and then you turn around and you see like them all.
I wanted to point out, because it starts out with, it's just a montage. There's no dialogue for like the first 5 minutes, and then you get Sasha training, and I'm like going, wait, I thought Sasha was leaving. So this was kind of throwing me off, but I did think it would have been funny because they were awful close to each other and they're just training. I thought it'd be funny if someone stabbed the person next to him. I thought that would have some levity, some comic relief. No, would that okay, Mike? If that had happened, would you have liked this episode?
Yeah, that would have been funny.
Okay, see? Yeah, there you go. Because they were awful close. You know, they're doing that whole thing, swish, 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 swish back. And in the meantime, Negan's men are just shooting them in the head because unless they're blocking the bullets, you know, the knives only can do so much. But I get it. That's all they have. Then Jesus gives Sasha a map, but goes, shh, because Maggie's sleeping. Gives a map of Negan's place, and then Maggie goes to Daryl, who's sitting there, pouty Daryl, gives him some food, and then I think she gets grossed out because she touched his greasy hair, and that's what caused her to cry. Am I right? Because she kind of walks away, and Daryl doesn't say anything.
Oh, huh. So she touched whose greasy hair? Jesus?
No, Daryl.
Daryl's. Oh. I think it was the interaction between Daryl and Maggie. Well, we can get to it later, but I think it's the fact that Daryl feels guilty still.
Yeah, I wrote down just kidding.
Oh, just kidding. Okay,
just,
yeah.
JK, just kidding.
Hey, isn't the montage the best part for a recapper?
It is, because you're like going, all right, now I got to watch it and write at the same time, where sometimes you can, you know, when you watch it the second time, you gotta go, all right, what happens in the scene? Oh, I gotta watch it and then go back and write it. It's the worst thing for, like you said, for the recapper, because it sucks.
Unless it's roller skating montage.
Yeah, roller skating's great. But no, do you like it, Matt?
I like the montage because it's basically I can just write montage.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to start out with 10 minutes of nothing. So I'm like going, geez, whatever.
CJ says that Daryl's hair is greasier than a sleeve of a Jack in the Box taco.
But, and that's greasy. That's greasy.
It's pretty greasy.
Yeah. Then we see Gregory's getting sauce. He's drinking. I think Gregory sees everybody out there having fun. They're throwing knives. They're training. And then Gregory's being left out. He's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Am I right? He's just not allowed to play in the games.
Sure. I guess that makes Maggie Santa. Yeah. I what I took away from that was that he was on the last of his alcohol. Although he does offer gin, it seemed like the bottle was empty. There was another bottle in the background that was empty.
Yeah, I got some gin in here. That's later on.
Okay.
And then we see Rosita walk in. They just let her walk in. And she talks with Sasha, and then we realize, okay, they had been training beforehand, and this is after when we come back, and Sasha goes, Rosita, I need your help before I kill you. And they goes, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Then it goes to the theme song. We cut to commercial, and we have Jesus and Maggie talking. He grew up in a group home. We find that out because he's given his home up. It's kind of crowded. And he says he's had trouble getting close to people, and he revealed something. Russ, what did he reveal? Well, that's I'm glad you're paying attention.
I don't remember.
He had trouble talking with friends. He had trouble with family, and he had trouble getting closer to boyfriends.
Oh yeah.
He had 12. He had 12 disciples.
Yeah, and one jerk really kind of stabbed him in the back with one of those pitchfork devil knives.
I thought we learned that he was also an orphan, right?
Yeah, he was an orphan.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, he grew up in a group home. At this point in the watching it, it was kind of dragging to me, so I was kind of like...
Well, did it throw you off? There was actual dialogue? Is that what threw you off?
Well, I mean, it was just kind of like... It was a very hard beginning to that show. Like, it was very difficult to get into it.
All right. I can live with that. Then we see Sasha sees Maggie getting closer to Enid and Jesus. Like, she's kind of getting... She's happy. I think she's happy that Maggie has somebody. Would you guys agree?
You know, I guess so, to distract her. Or
well, she can go. She can go on her mission with Rosita, and not have to worry about taking care of Maggie,
right?
Because she's kind of been there for her since Glenn, you know, got smashed up.
Yeah, she's the only thing that the show is kind of lacking is really showing, you know. Like they've really made a focus on Sasha and Rosita struggling with the whole Abraham thing, but they haven't really focused on Maggie and her struggling with the whole Glenn thing.
Well, she has a mission. She has a baby she's got to take care of. She has.
Yeah, but we haven't even like seen a whole lot of that either.
I get it, but she's also training people to go to war, so she's being distracted.
We saw her, you know, with the doctor a couple episodes ago, and she's also wearing Glenn's hat. You know, she's kind of taking on the look of Glenn. So there's also an important scene coming up where there's this red hat predominantly in the background. I don't know why I focused on this stupid red hat, but it's like this weird summery kind of red hat. You know, like somebody would wear out gardening, but it's red. And I was like, why is this hat there?
It's so. Make Hilltop great again.
It's what?
It's Make Hilltop Great Again. It's Gregory's hat.
Oh.
Mike, you were saying something before Russ spoke?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
you said something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
He said
I'm saying Enid has a summer internship working with Maggie and bring the city. She's getting college there you credit. Go.
Well, you got to have those college credits. It helps, right? Looks good on a resume. Let's see. Okay. Then Jesus, where am I? Did I lose my place?
You're at the part where Judas left.
Okay. Sasha grabs some bullets out of a book that's been carved out. And as she's doing it, Jesus and Enid catch her. They walk in and she goes, oh, well, the other day I was looking for something to read and opened up this book. And, well, it had bullets in it.
I have never seen Sasha read something.
No.
I'm not saying that she's illiterate. I'm just saying, hey.
We've never seen it.
Yeah.
Right. Sasha says and then Jesus tells her not to go. You shouldn't go, you know, all the whole thing. And really, Jesus is right. Sasha shouldn't go. And then Sasha says what I thought was the stupidest thing. Says the hilltop's going to need you because of course, Enid and Jesus want to go with her. With her and Rosita, and he goes, no, they're going to need you for what happens after. Hilltop's going to need you. Well, then don't go do the stupid plan without notifying Rick, notifying everybody else that you're going to go try and kill Negan. Because if you fail, all hell's going to break loose, and nobody's going to know it, right? Because you snuck away to try and do something on your own. Negan's going to, his men are going to come destroy Hilltop.
Right.
And Alexandria, and whatever else is in their way.
Yeah, there's always a punishment when you do something bad or wrong.
Right, and even if you killed Negan, they might retaliate.
Sure, they would. Yeah.
So it's just a stupid, selfish plan. Can we all agree on that?
Pretty much.
Okay. And then
sweep it. We need to say sweep it when we all agree.
But I kind of like the whole Suicide Squad of Rosita and Sasha. I do. I like
those renegade missions, don't you?
But is it a good plan?
I don't think it's a solid plan. I think it's a little ham-fisted.
If you don't tell people what you're doing, then it's a bad plan because who's going to know? Right.
Well, they probably don't want to tell anyone though, because they'll probably try and talk them out of it.
Because it's a stupid plan.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think they. Not to spoil it, but the way Sasha handled that there at the end, I mean, it was a suicide mission, kind of.
I get it, but it's also you're also putting everybody else at risk. That's the problem. You're going to revenge the death of your former lover boyfriend, right? And sure, eventually you want to avenge his death, but you're setting everybody else up in harm's way because they're not ready yet.
Right.
So, anyway, I just thought it was a stupid plan. Then Sasha does give Enid some string and. It looks like one of those little bracelet things she's making for the baby. And she tells Enid, you can make this, you can finish this while I'm gone. It looked to me like it was like, I'm looking at this thing thinking, okay, how long is this going to take?
Right.
It wasn't a blanket.
I had the same thoughts, Jack. I really did. I looked at this thing and I was like, okay, you're making a friendship bracelet for the baby?
Yeah.
Like, And is it a necklace? Because you don't want that around the baby's neck.
No.
And if it is a blanket, you're way off.
And you don't want it around. You really don't want it around her arm either.
Yeah, I mean, like who wears nobody puts a bracelet on a baby.
And again, I know she's been working on this, but maybe she only has like a couple seconds a day to work on this thing. I mean, I personally have never made a friendship bracelet. Have anyone here made one?
Nope. No, can't say that I have.
But how long do you think it would take?
Maybe in grade school, seventh grade, sometime. Okay. But
how long?
Do we have another sweep?
No, because I've made one.
Say maybe.
I mean, it's been a long time, but you know, I have put in my time on the creative factor. I will just say this, that I think this is my crackpot theory. I think it was a blanket. It just wasn't really far along. I mean, what else could it be? Like that bracelet was done. Like, what are you going to, add some beads. I want some shells too. Just like, Judas.
I get what they're trying to do is show that Sasha wasn't coming back. That's what they're trying to tell us with that piece of string. But I think, like you said, couldn't they have got like a blanket or something else that she was working on instead of a piece of string?
I was weaving this scarf for Meg when the winters get cold here and it gets out.
Yeah, because it does get cold. It snows and the baby can't be cold.
And they do have a lot of leaves on the road.
They do because they don't ever move the leaves.
Perpetual.
Anyway, I don't know.
No, good point. And in that same scene, that's where you see the hat in the background.
Okay.
The red hat.
I didn't see it because I was so focused on that stupid piece of string. I go, really? I go, nobody thought when they're writing the story going, all right, we got this. We got to show that Sasha's not coming back. I know. We're going to give her she's making a friendship bracelet that's taking her weeks, months to finish. And she just doesn't have time. So she's going to give it to Enid. Enid's like, look, you know what Enid was thinking too? Really? You couldn't have finished this already? You're putting this on me.
And what is she wouldn't be the best at make fake mutant owls on Survivor.
No, she wouldn't.
Is this a stick?
Anyway, I know we're getting focused on something that really didn't matter, but I just thought that was a stupid scene.
That's all we can focus on.
Yeah. Then we hear the bell ringing, ding, 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 ding. The saviors are coming. The saviors are coming. As Paul Revere rode through and told them. Rosita and Sasha escape out the Hogan's Hero phony woodpile tunnel.
Nice.
If you've never seen Hogan's Heroes, that was Hogan's Heroes at its best.
It you know, it's also part of the Great Escape.
The Great Escape also.
Yes.
But actually, I thought it was pretty clever. You know, yeah. Who would open it up and see there's a tunnel. Then Simon comes walking in. Oh, we got to find Maggie. It's Daryl and Enid. They have to find Maggie and blah, 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 because she can't be found. Daryl can't be found. Sasha can't be found. So they're all running.
And did you think that they were there to find Daryl? I mean, based on everything that we've known and seen up to this point.
I thought they were looking for Daryl.
Right.
They were looking for that extra mango.
I also thought they were looking. Or they were looking for a friendship bracelet. Don't leave those friendship bracelets out because we want those. We wanted 12. There's only 11. But then Simon comes walking in and he's talking to Gregory. Gregory goes, hey, I got some gin in there. Aren't you a gin man? And Simon goes, I'm now a tequila man.
Yeah.
And Gregory just goes, I can't catch a break.
Are you kidding me? I got to say this about Simon. Favorite henchman of the Negan crew. I mean,
I would agree.
He puts away the whole, what is that guy? Jerry or not Jerry. I can't.
The guy from last week.
Exactly. Mopey guy. Mopey dopey guy. Yeah. I mean, by far, you know, in a fight between the death of those two guys, Simon wins every time.
Oh, he does. He has the expression too. You know, you just know what he looks. I'm just saying, you know what he's thinking about without him saying it.
He's menacing.
It's the stash.
Yeah, but it's even
hairline.
And it's just like the way he carries himself. He just like the way he delivers those lines. It's with charisma. You know who
he reminds me of? He reminds me of Gerald McGraney from Simon and Simon.
Rick Simon wasn't as quirky as this guy.
Yeah, but you know, this guy's kind of like arrogant, cocky, which is what he was. He was like that.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't jerky cocky.
Right. Well, but that's because he's just playing a bad guy.
Okay. But I agree with Matt saying the actor who plays him does a really good job.
He does.
He reminds me of like a little bit like an outlaw from a Western.
Yeah, that's a good point. He does, yeah. Or you know who he reminds me of? That guy in Joe McGraney on Simon.
And on Westworld.
Joe McRaney on Deadwood.
reminds me of some early 80s, late 70s relief pitcher, you know? So
Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers was a starter.
Yeah, well.
Well, you said relief pitcher.
Not his latter years.
He's more known for a starter and also giving up the home run that kept the Expos out of the World Series. Yeah. Too
but
soon,
he was
Russ?
With the Expos.
He was. Yeah, that's what I said. Anyway.
A title suggestion for the team ever.
What's the title for the episodes?
Jerky Cocky.
Jerky Cocky. There we go. You got that written down, Matt?
Sure, I'll remember that.
Okay. Simon wants Gregory to point to someone. Who should I point to? He goes, well, why don't you point? We'll know who you're pointing to. At this point, I don't know who Gregory's talked. I still assume he's talking about Daryl or someone else that doesn't belong there. You guys still on that on the same train of thought there?
Yep.
Daryl and Maggie hide in the food cellar. Rosita and Sasha take off, and then we go to commercial. Rosita and Sasha are trying to find a car. Rosita sees the necklace. Uh-oh. That's kind of awkward. She goes, yeah, I made that. And Sasha goes, okay. That was kind of an awkward scene. Then I go, shoot her. So my theory will be right.
Glad that the necklace finally played off. I was waiting for this. I'd been waiting all season for that necklace to appear.
I forgot all about the necklace. Now, shouldn't she have left that behind for the baby?
Oh, sure. If she wants to strangle him.
A gift to remember her by.
It wasn't Abraham. You know, that was Abraham. So not that didn't have anything to do with Glenn's baby.
Well, it's better than a stupid friendship bracelet.
Hey, they lived together. They died together.
Exactly.
So. He dies.
And then Rosita's kind of giving Sasha the cold shoulder. Look, I'm not out here to talk. I'm not out here to make friends. I'm not out here to have tea, whatever she was saying. And Sasha walks away. And then she goes, ah, all right. Then she tells him about the map that about Jesus made out of map, told him, you know, about Negan's plays, how there's different. So there's a little bit of bonding going there. But then Rosita, still angry Rosita, walks up and they come up to a couple of walkers, hit him in the head. She goes, if you don't want to be here, you can leave. I don't need you here. Okay? She goes, I'm not leaving. Okay? And then they walk off. So they're still not getting along.
It's classic will they, won't they relationship there.
Exactly.
If you leave, you won't learn how to make a friendship bracelet.
That's why she needed that knot tying, you know, information at the end.
Yeah. So. I forgot to mention though that she Sasha wants to do it outside. Do it clean.
Right.
So maybe they can get out alive. And Rosita's like, "No, we're going in. We got to make sure he's dead. We got to make sure he's dead. What if you mess? I won't mess." So back and forth. And that caused some friction too. But Rosita wants to go in. let's see. Enan talks to Roy about veggies. Look, darling, if we're going to talk, it's vegetables. We have all day. Say it right.
I kind of liked the condescending, like, say the whole word. It's like when my wife tells the kids not to call it the fridge, you know? It's refrigerator.
It's like when I say San Antonio just to make everybody mad here. My wife goes, no one says that. It's San Antonio. No, they do say San Antonio.
It's not Cali. You say it California.
Okay, I don't like when people say Cali. Did you say that when you were there? I go, no, nobody did when I was there. And I assume they do now because, you know, take the easy way out.
Surfer lingo.
Yeah, dude. Let's see. And then Roy, after he does it, then he gets kind of snotty and says, I'm not taking the vegetables, knocks them out of her hand. Stop bugging me. He goes, pick this crap up. And then he sees her knife and goes, oh, and give me that. Darling, you better give it to me before I cut it off you. And so she gives him the knife. Why is she walking around with a knife?
Didn't think about it. She probably didn't think about it. It was just like on her belt. You know, it's like if you're carrying something around and then all of a sudden the saviors are coming. I mean, who has time to think about that? She's worried about Glenn and
not Glenn. Maggie.
Oh, and sorry.
Yeah. She's worried about Glenn. She's wasting her time.
She's still thinking about Glenn.
Do you have something, Mike?
Oh, I'm saying she should responded back to him like JK, FML, LOL.
He goes, I don't even know what that is. We don't have cell phones. What are you talking about?
BTW.
BFFs? No? Okay. Let's see. As he takes her knife and goes into the cellar. Maggie and Daryl watch in darkness. You just see there. It's the,
oh yeah,
just their eyes. It's like, and but he can't see their eyes through the light. So
I'm sure that would have made a cool comic panel in the comic book. Like, yeah, would have been. You just see the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know,
maybe like a shiny steel of a knife.
Daryl's there with the, getting ready, but you know. Let's see. Maggie, I said that Simon talks with Dr. Carson, tells him they're coming. He's coming with us. Hey, you got a promotion and we have ice cream.
Gelato, even.
Gelato.
Yeah, gelato.
And then that's before he said the ice cream, he goes, and then Dr. Carson, why do you need two doctors? And then Simon does, I thought it was the best scene in the whole episode. Kind of like what Matt's saying.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just the visual expression. Yeah.
And he goes, you know, people can really good at reading my face. He goes, oh, my brother did something stupid.
Yep.
Well, yeah. My condolences, but yeah, we got to go.
We don't need two doctors. By the way, yeah, I like the fact that we also get confirmation that they were brothers.
Right.
Kind of interesting. So
it's a pretty good family having two doctors in the family. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
It's really an action-packed scene behind Matt going on right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's that. Yeah. But you know, I forgot what I was going to say. Forget it. So if Carson figures out his brother is dead, but then Simon goes, "Hey, look, we're not going to leave you hanging here without any medical care." Opens it because they've been carrying on that big case. I thought it was going to be his brother.
Oh.
In the case, I thought it was what was left of him. I said, why are they bringing this case? I mean, this crate around. Why are they bringing this crate around? And I go, when they open it up, it's all aspirin. I go, that's just basically saying F you.
Right.
We're taking your doctor. Here's some aspirin. Screw you. And you know what? And it's probably expired. Probably the expiration date has expired on that aspirin.
Yeah. There's a healthcare joke in there, but I'm not going to make it. I kept thinking, what's in the box? What's in the box? So I really couldn't figure out what was in the box, to be truthful. I kept thinking that it was tequila. So
tequila. And then Gregory wants to talk with Simon. Can we have a word outside? And Gregory goes, Simon tells him we like you. I like you're a can-do guy. But I thought he was going to spill the beans about what was going on. And I'm not sure if he didn't. Because remember, they pan away. Simon is they're still talking.
I didn't notice that.
He says, I mean, it's mostly Simon doing the talking. And then Gregory kind of leans on the fence, the wall behind him, and says, you know, kind of what's going on.
But I think with his character, he's like, he almost always spills the beans, but then right when he's like ready to open a closet door,
yeah,
he doesn't. And I think when he finally does try to turn to the other side is when he'll end up being killed or something.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to spill the beans or at least say something. But, you know, Greg, Simon says, hey, here's my number. You know, give me a call if you're having a bad day. We don't want you stressed out. You're one of our best providers. I mean, was he really trying to say you can come see me anytime, or was he trying to say you can come see me if you have something, some information to give me?
Well, he gave them the information on where they're located.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Russ, anything?
I muted Russ.
Oh, because of the clicking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how to unmute him.
Hey, Russ, can you unmute yourself? Can I do it?
Welcome to Three Super Guys.
I did it. Is it unmuted? I unmuted you, yeah.
Is it muted now?
No, we can hear you, so it's not muted.
This is per Shiri's request. Is one of our most faithful listeners, somebody that promotes the show more than two other guys on the show. And
hey, I retweeted stuff.
Oh, maybe you'll win the prize.
No, not up to the podcasters.
Anyway, Shiri complained about your clicking.
Someone else sent me a message too, saying the clicking was irritating.
But it did help for all my tweets this week or last week when I hashtagged wiretapping, because wiretapping apparently is a thing right now that's really popular. So,
but you're not hearing clicking now, right?
Not right now. We were before.
Not in the last 30 seconds.
So
anyway, Roy is still in the cellar. He takes some food. Daryl gets out his knife. It's real shiny. But Maggie goes, "No, Daryl, no, don't." Pulls him back. And Daryl goes, "Okay." And then she goes, "Ah, do something with that hair. You're rubbing up against me. It's greasy. Wash your hair. We have shampoo."
You know, I didn't think he was going to stab anybody at that point.
I was hoping he'd cut his hair with the blade. Just cut it. I can't look at the greasy hair anymore. I can't. I know women find that. Do women find that sexy? I don't know.
Write us in. Let us know.
Yeah. Do you find Daryl's greasy hair sexy? It's enough's enough.
The thing I don't
take a bath.
Winter poll of the week.
The thing I don't understand is like everyone else there looks like they've been in a shower except for him. Like, does he not take a shower?
Dude will not take a shower. He feels guilty about Glenn dying and Abraham dying. He was eating dog food. I get it. He's a mess. I get it. That's probably low on his priority list. But he was this close to Maggie, and she's pregnant. She can't have those germs on her, right? And now they just lost their doctor.
Like, I would think that guy in the cellar would have been able to smell him in there.
Well, there were onions in there and stuff, so maybe that counterbalances the smell.
Yeah, I would have been like, okay, something's rotten in here.
I actually thought that Maggie was going to react because she saw that he had
Enid's knife. Right.
So.
But nothing. Well, she knew it. To be fair, that was a smart move. Rosita and Sasha would have jumped out and stabbed the guy, putting the whole hilltop in jeopardy because they just don't think.
Hey, Jack, CJ has a question for you.
Yes.
You can get hair again, but it's Daryl's greasy hair. Yes
no,
or no?
No. I'm just going to stay bald. I don't care. I'm not touching that. There's no way. What's the point? I always get mad when you see people who have hair and they don't take care of it. And it's all sloppy and gross and stuff like that. And it's all greasy. I just want to get up and smack them.
Jack will come back with a man bun, a greasy man bun.
And you're going to teach hot yoga.
Yeah, there you go.
And how to make bracelets.
Nice.
Making a bracelet out of greasy hair.
Friendship. Ooh. There you go. A friendship bracelet in only 6 months or less. I will teach you how to do it.
Janet has a comment as well. He really wanted to stab that guy. I was trying to remember if he had an interaction when they had him locked up. So,
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, Janet.
The only reaction that Darryl. Or action that he had with or interaction he had with anybody was Dwight
and Fat Joey.
Fat Joey
and Negan.
That was a short interaction.
And the chick.
The chick.
They have names.
Dwight's wife. Anyway, Daryl. Let's see. Daryl says he looks at the thing. He runs out there right away. Obviously, not making enough noise for Roy to hear, because I guess he ran up the stairs back out of the cellar.
Good thing Daryl, Russ wasn't down there.
Yeah. Exactly. Matt for the win. Let's see. But he starts, and Maggie says, "What is it? You don't look at me. You don't look me in the eyes." And he goes, "My fault. My fault. My fault." How can he look at women? I don't want you to think, "Hey, was it mine?" I don't know. I'm not doing any DNA tests. But how can he see anybody with his hair fly? I hate to go back with the hair, but his hair is all in his face. He can't look in anybody's eyes. But then Daryl, it's actually, I'm joking. It was a pretty good scene between Maggie and Daryl. I thought that, you know, he's basically saying him and Maggie says, you know, you're a good person. Glenn always thought you were a good person. I think you're a good person. It wasn't your fault.
Now take a shower.
Yeah.
Here's the bar soap. Take a shower.
Yeah. And Glenn, he was one of the good ones.
Yeah. And he's zestfully clean. Yes, exactly what she said. And Glenn was one of the good ones until he got his head bashed in because you didn't protect him. The Hilltoppers see Dr. Carson being taken away. They're not really happy. And of course, Gregory's like, oh man, putting his head down. You know, he's kind of,
you know, the interesting thing about that was, it was like, you know, learning that his brother was the other doctor.
Yeah.
I think Matt had brought it up like a couple weeks ago. You probably missed that show, I think.
Well, we learned that in this episode too, so there we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Carson's, what I thought was fascinating, Carson sits in the back of the truck and he's next to those two exhaust pipes. I'm assuming it's a diesel truck.
The smokestacks.
And all that exhaust just came right over him. So what's the best way to keep your doctor healthy? Put him right by where the exhaust is coming out.
I thought the exact same thing.
I mean, I'm sitting there. Oh, the evil twins are behind you.
Twin smokestacks, just as bad, right?
But you know? I just thought, I go, and the guy doesn't blink. He doesn't blink. He just, what an actor. It's just smoke just coming in his face, and I just thought that was unhealthy.
Well, it's they use a different kind of smoke in TV. You know, it's not diesel or, you know, it's like vegetable
fake smoke. Oil. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's okay then. You can put your French fries.
It's like the fake cigarettes that they made them smoke in Mad Men.
Okay. And then Sasha and Rosita come up to a used car lot. And I think that was appropriate for the walking, you know, walkers being walking around in a used car lot. What did we think about the plan that they were doing? I thought I got to go back to saying pretty stupid plan.
I liked the fact that they put their heads right down while the car's on fire. I'm thinking, okay, this thing's going to blow up and you're putting your head.
Well, what I would have done, this is just me. I would have cut a hole in the thing. One person goes in to try and take a car. The other one just keeps banging on the car because they'll come over to the noise, then throw the fire in there. They'll catch on fire and then eventually blow up. You know, of course, you run away. But what was the point of putting in the fire to try to distract them? But once you started making noise on the other end, you know, looking for the cars, what happened? The walkers turned around and started coming towards them. I just thought it was a stupid plan.
Well, they remembered that they're making a show for AMC, so they want to make some really cool visuals.
And when she's
but they're also not they're not thinking very clearly. You know, they seem that they're very not spur of the moment, but very just lack judgment.
It's almost like Sasha lost her mind when she lost the friendship bracelet.
Exactly. It just broke her concentration. But you know, they've survived because they, as we find out later, they've been taught how to survive. They've learned how to survive. They learned how to deal with the walkers, deal how to learn with people that are trying to kill them. It, to me, I go, I don't get the point of this plan.
But it even just, Rosita's got the door open while she's trying to hotwire the car, and here comes a walker.
Yeah, and she's just hotwiring the car, and she goes, Sasha, get in. And I'm like, and there were plenty of cars. In fact, when they came up to the scene, going back to the scene where she's giving her kind of the cold shoulder, there were all these cars in the streets where the windows weren't dirty and stuff like that. Now, maybe they tried to start those and we didn't see it, but they're trying to start a car that's all beat up, dirty. You know, you can't see out the windows. I just, the whole scene, I thought was, I didn't get the point of the scene.
By the way, that's the first car that they've ever tried to hotwire that didn't work for them in the whole show. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I mean, my car dies in, like, good luck.
I don't know. I just didn't think it was a good scene. And then when they finally get away, they crash through the fence. And I want to know how far the fence, because the fence, they pull away, the fences that they crashed into goes with them. It's dragging behind them. How long until they realize, hey, we got this fence dragging behind us. You want to get out and get it?
I think on the back window, it was written in the dirty thing, just married.
Just marry that one. Yeah. That's how they got into Negan's place, right? Hey, we're lost. We're on honeymoon.
All right, two more wives.
All right. All right, then Rosita and Sasha are in the building overlooking Negan's place, and they see Eugene, and Eugene's taking charge. He's just telling people what to do, this. He's working on his walker barricade. And you see Rosita is working on knots. And, of course, Sasha goes, well, can you show me how to – I don't know how to do that one. Can you show me how to do it? And Rosita goes, we don't have time. And then she goes, okay.
Does anyone know what that knot is called that she was doing?
It's a Abraham knot. I don't know. Do you know? Anybody?
No, I don't know.
It's called a knot's landing.
Knots, and the closest thing that I came up with was maybe like a half hitch knot, but I wasn't sure.
A Nazi. Anyway, a Nazi.
I'm really thinking about the knots.
I think it was actually a frayed knot.
They were both a little afraid, weren't they?
Boy, that's rough. Tough crowd.
Yeah, it is tough crowd. Rosita but you know the whole knot thing got some bonding. Sasha was practicing the knots. Rosita got out and saw that Eugene was out there, and you know, and Rosita realized that he's kind of taking charge and in control out there. They talk. She tells Sasha about the guys and how she learned how to do this and how she do this and how she, you know, sex was fun and just, you know, it's all about the sex.
Yeah, I liked the Rosita backstory here, you know. Yeah. We got to learn how she got to learn all of these things, you know.
How she defuse a bomb, how she, you know, learned to do this. She learned how to do things. And then basically Abraham taught her how to protect herself, except in a used car lot.
Taught her the knots?
Who taught her how to do that?
So what was she making the knots for?
Well, Fizloff says it does not matter.
Oh.
Well, maybe they're trying to find Tom Brady's jersey. Would that matter?
Apparently they did.
It's in Mexico.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'm glad they found that, because it's been driving me crazy.
If only there was a wall.
Should build a wall around Tom Brady's jersey so he never loses it again. What do you think?
Or so it doesn't go to Mexico. Wait. I thought it was a rope ladder. That was what I was thinking it was. But I don't know why it would be a rope ladder. I mean...
Well, the only problem is it's the knots were, it wasn't wide enough to get your foot in.
And plus, they're all on the same side. If you wanted a rope ladder, you'd put them on opposite sides. And they'd be staggered more.
I have no idea. I was wondering the same thing.
You're not a rope ladder aficionado, Matt.
No, Matt, are you not?
I'm not. Never been.
You're afraid not.
it's a joke so good you got to use it twice.
If you can use it a third time in this show, Russ, you get the prize. Then they get down to talking about Abraham. Well, was it just that for you? And they're talking about sex with him. Abraham? You're talking about Abraham? The guy you took from me? Abraham? You have to read between the lines what was going on there. But I thought it was a good scene. They're talking about it. They're bonding. And basically you know, I got your back, you have my back. You know, they basically agree. Suddenly they love each other, right? They're best buds.
I thought they were going to kiss.
No, I didn't see that one.
Janet says they did grab the rope from the car lot, right? They made a point of showing us a coiled up rope there. So
Russ, you were thinking they were going to tie the knot?
They did several times.
Okay, then Dr. Carson arrives. Negan comes out, but they can't get a clear shot. Now, couldn't they have shot through somebody? Because there are a couple of Negan's men there. Couldn't they have shot through
Eugene?
Not Eugene. At this point, they don't want to kill Eugene, but there's a couple of Negan's men there. They could have shot through him into Negan.
I think both of the options that they had to shoot through were Eugene and the doctor.
Now, there was another guy standing there, and he's for like 2 seconds, he's standing in front of Negan talking to Negan. They could have shot him through the head.
It would have worked if they had a grassy knoll.
A grassy knoll. That's what they needed.
Here's my problem with this scene is that, yeah, they missed one opportunity, but again, like, what's a day?
Yeah.
I mean, hang out a day and see if he comes out again. I mean,
yeah, I didn't get it. Now we have, because they missed their opportunity. Well, then Eugene gets on the walkie talkie. Now, this is the only thing I'm thinking is maybe they have to make a move because he's told people to go out and look for walkers.
Sure.
So maybe they're worried that someone's going to come in there and see them in there. That's the only, because I was like, okay, why is this scene with Eugene other than know that Eugene is
part of the team?
Part of the team, but he goes, I'm Negan. This is Negan. As Negan's orders, as I am Negan, blah, 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 blah. That's the only thing that could have possibly saved this, because it, like you guys are saying, it made no sense to have to. It's what's another day? He's going to come out again.
Right.
And be honest with you, you're better off not taking him out at his when he comes to Hilltop or when he comes to, you know,
Alexandria or something.
You draw him out of his place into where you're comfortable, where you have the numbers.
Well, Rosita and Sasha probably knew next week was going to be all Rick's episode, so like we don't have a chance. It'll be like 2 more weeks before we have another chance to get on the show.
Yeah. And then they go, change of plans. They're going in. I go, God, stupid plan. Jesus talks with Gregory. Gregory tells him, yeah, you've been slacking on your scavenging and your recruiting lately. And he goes, then he kind of threatens Jesus. Would hate to get out that are you threatening me? You're threatening Jesus? Is that a good sign?
No
one threatens the Jesus.
No. And then some dude, I don't know his name, brings in tequila, which I thought was interesting. Where did he get the tequila?
I thought that was one of Simon's men at this point.
Was that one of Simon's men? Left behind?
I don't know, but where did he get the tequila? Because I was under the assumption that he was out of alcohol. And I know that's a large leap to make, but I felt like he was... When he had that last drink at the very beginning of the episode, it seemed like it was to show us that he was low.
Yeah, I have no idea where he got, because they took most of his alcohol away. So,
right.
So where did he get the tequila?
I thought it was to double down and show like, yeah, he's part of Simon.
Did we miss a scene where he went and talked to Simon? Could that have happened and Simon gave him the tequila? That's what I was thinking. I go, all right, are we like a day or so? Are we missing a time frame?
But here's the thing. If he squealed, right, and said, oh, by the way, I've got Daryl and Maggie here, then they would have taken him.
Right, but I'm saying did he go later on?
Hmm.
And,
well, here you go, Matt. Did the governor give him tequila?
The governor's long dead.
Is he?
But I do think that there is a connection there, though. Are we sure? Are we really sure?
Anyway, so yeah, I just was there has to be a reason why Simon said he's a tequila man, and suddenly this guy walks in. I couldn't find his name. Guy walks in and he has tequila. It just seemed odd.
Maybe he left them a bottle when they left, kind of like in behind the scenes, like. Don't worry, you know, you've got my, you know how to find me.
He gave him all that aspirin. What does he need tequila for?
Right. Like, you know, it could have been like a confiding moment in him. Well, and
we should have seen that scene.
Fizloff said that was a special mission guy with one job. Find tequila.
Tequila. The dun, 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 dun. Anyway, find the jersey. Find Tom Brady's jersey the tequila.
Walking Dead does have a lot of like, you know, missing scenes of how things got figured out. You know,
well, to me, it's like a clue that something had happened. But mm-hmm. But you need to know the time frame. Was a day? Did a day go by? What happened?
My assumption was that he had a bottle on him and he left it there for him. It's kind of like a, you know, hey, I got your back. I'll take care of you. You're my man.
It's like
how I took it.
Like Rick hides like a gun or a knife. He hides like a bottle of tequila or gin.
Yeah,
that could be it. I don't know, maybe we're looking too much into this. Maybe I'm looking too much into this. I don't know. We'll see. Rosita and Sasha killed the guy. I couldn't find the guy's name. Eugene's talking to the guy. He's saying this guy do this, this, and then boom, he's dead. And they tell Eugene, come with us. And he goes, I did not ask you to come with. I did not ask you to rescue me. I'm not going with you. I'm leaving. And Rosita says, that damn dirty liar. She used other words, but I won't say it. Sasha looks at Rosita. She locks Rosita. That's it. I'm going in. They've been cut the chain. And of course, she goes to Sasha. Keep an eye out. They could be coming towards us. And then she gets a bike lock that you got to have when you're going to kill Negan. You bring a bike lock. Am I right? Wasn't that like a bike lock that you put on your front wheel?
Right. Yeah, I didn't know how she locked her out.
Well, they could cut the chain on the fence, the spot, which she got through, and she locked it, and Rosita would have to cut it again to get in there.
How did they not use a friendship bracelet right there? Tie her in there.
If only I had that. But good thing I brought this bike lock. I just said, okay, I get what they're trying to do here. I think they're trying to kill off Sasha and keep Rosita alive, right? But who brings a bike lock to a knife fight? I don't. Yeah. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. I don't get it. Seriously, am I just being nitpicky here?
No, I don't know. I mean, I like the drama.
What does Fizzlehoff say?
I will.
maybe we need to change the name to Tequila and Bike Locks.
There you go. Tequila and Bike Locks.
Or
Knots and Locks.
I'm afraid not, guys. Okay.
No.
We have the trifecta.
Well, Jenna says Sasha had the map, so she knew about the wire fence. So, and she planned to do that the whole time. So,
okay, all right. I'll go with that. You win. Okay. You win. But I'm not bringing a bike lock to the thing. It's just not me. Like I said, with Mike said, the friendship bracelet, maybe that would have been believable.
Maybe cheeseburger in your pocket or something.
He goes,
Jack in a box taco.
You go, Rosita, cheeseburgers, Jack in a box taco. And who wouldn't run for that? You know, Russ would do that. You wouldn't need a bike lock for Russ. You just throw him a cheeseburger and he'd go take it off.
I will say that the title of the episode comes from something that Sasha says to Rosita about being on the other side of the fence when they escape at the very beginning when they're escaping Hilltop, or now they're not escaping, but they're kind of doing their Hogan's Hero mission. But this scene right here, there's also that aspect that they are on the other side. She leaves her on the other side. They're on two sides of the fence. So.
Well, she also tells her, because it was not, she earlier they had discussed, it wasn't Abraham's time. It wasn't his time. And Sasha tells her, it's not your time.
No, but you know what? Like that whole sequence, though, I'm like, out of all the stuff that Rosita learned from all these people, like for her to fall for the "hey, look over there" trick, I'm like, come on, you that stupid?
Well, again, who would think she would bring a bike lock? Maybe. Yeah. What would you be thinking? Usually on that thing, this is for your own good, and they knock you over the head and you knock out.
All they need is
carrot top. She didn't want her to escape.
I think what Sasha was trying to say is, like, it's not your time. I'm on another show right now. I'm shooting a pilot, so...
Yeah, I got to go. Really... I don't even have time to talk to show up for The Talking Dead. Yeah. That's how busy I am.
I think Sasha was more or less saying, like, you know what? I was the last one with Abraham. I'm avenging his death, not you.
Ooh, and you were going to kill me anyway.
And I'm wearing the necklace, and you're not.
I'm on the other
side. And I have a bike lock, and you don't.
And I didn't bring the key, so screw you. Sasha goes on a killing spree And then we see Rosita, she's crying, she runs, she's crying, she looks up, and we see like a silhouette of a long-haired man with a crossbow.
It looked greasy.
But here's the question. Was it Daryl or Dwight?
Dwight. It's got to be Dwight.
He's too scared.
Because I left out a place, I forgot, I wrote down Jesus. Daryl did confront Jesus about, where's Maggie? I mean, where's Sasha, and where'd they go? Well, they went to go kill Negan. So let's take a vote right now. Matt, Daryl or Dwight?
I'm on the Dwight train. I don't think that Daryl ran off to try to catch up with them. I mean, timing-wise, I don't know.
Okay, Mike?
Yeah, I'm saying Dwight because he looked very skinny, like in the shadow.
Yeah.
And we've also been spending so much time on Dwight that this would be the perfect time to have him turn or do something.
Okay. Russ.
I first thought it was Daryl, and then I was like, yeah, the timing doesn't line up, and my next thing was Dwight, so I'm going to go with Dwight.
We're going to sweep this. My first thought was, oh, it's Daryl. But wait, he couldn't have got there. Oh, it's probably Dwight. Maybe Rosita's supposed to be killed off too. I don't know.
Dwight Schrute.
Or she's going to be married off to, like Mike was saying, Negan, or Matt said it.
You feel like you need to have like another Carol and Daryl like scene before like the big war or whatever it's coming.
Right. So yeah, that's it. That was the episode.
Weird place to end it though.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a great episode. Didn't hate it, but didn't think it was great. I think like Mike said, you kind of get some of the main characters back, and then they do what they're, we're going to push you aside. And I don't know. It's just, again, this whole, I understand they're grieving. I understand both Sasha and Rosita are grieving, but it's just a stupid, selfish plan. So that alone ruined the episode for me.
Did you not like it?
I thought it was okay. Didn't hate it.
I probably liked it amongst the four of us probably the most. So I really didn't have that big of a beef with the plan. I thought their motives were pretty clear. We had already seen the fact that they were going to go on this mission. And I don't know. I guess with this show, I'm just always along for the ride. So I have no expectations.
I thought this episode was a momentum killer.
Wow.
From last week.
I think you're wrong.
So Matt's and Russ was able to get Afraid Not in one more time. So, but we do have some feedback. Who wants to go first on the feedback? Mike, you want to go first?
Which one are you reading, Matt? Just so I know.
Oh, I have Christie's pulled up.
All right, so I'll read Vicky. I was surprised that Sasha died and how Sasha blocked Rosita from also going into an ambush situation. I also hope that Rosita takes out the Savior Guard. Gregory is a scumbag. He is ready to turn anyone over to Saviors just to save his own ass. What an ass. Not Negan's. I hope Karma bites him. I thought when he called Simon aside that he was going to give up Daryl and Maggie. Thanks, Vicky.
Yeah. So we're assuming Sasha dies, or does she get captured?
Well, Vicky is assuming Sasha dies.
Well, again, wouldn't it have been a better plan for them both to go in there fighting if the goal was to kill Negan?
Yeah,
I mean she doesn't know where Negan is inside the perimeter, does she?
And you need somebody to have cover your back. You're going through hallways. You don't know when somebody's going to sneak up and then cut you down.
Yeah, plus you don't want to just keep shooting everybody, boom, 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 letting them know you're here. If you're on a mission.
She did have a silencer, though.
But obviously people knew she was there because they're all running around looking for her.
Well, that's because Eugene went in and kind of
squealed on him, right?
Yeah.
So should they kill Eugene? Does Eugene die?
I wonder if it'll bring Rosita around to kill or want to kill Eugene, that he betrayed them, basically.
Yeah, and it's not the first time he's done it.
He's lied
to them before.
Any other thoughts about Sasha actually being dead? Like, I don't think she died in this episode. I mean, we didn't see her body.
I think she would have been on Talking Dead if that was the case.
That was my thought.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
I think she's supposed to appear next week on Talking Dead.
Is she? Bump, bump, bump. Wow.
All right. I'm going to read Christy's email here real quick. Hey, guys. Things are starting to fall into place, I think. Gregory, not only does he threaten Jesus, but he was also so especially stupid to try to threaten Simon with the whole, if I lose the trust of the people, someone else will take over and they may not be as easy to work with and might have crazy ideas, BS.
Great impression of Gregory.
She did put it in quotes, so I had to read it that way.
Okay. Did you read it as drunk Gregory?
Maybe, because I had that Guinness earlier. Okay. He really doesn't understand that he just made himself look so weak to Simon. You keep your people in line and do what Negan tells you, period. If you can't do that, someone else will. They aren't going to help you do it, and they sure aren't going to be bullied by someone like Gregory. I think the whole I'll tell the guards to let you in thing was simply a lie. He will tell the guards that if someone named Gregory ever shows up, they should kill him on sight because that means he failed and is useless to them. This may help our crew out just based on the fact that Gregory may not have a chance to tell Negan about Maggie, Daryl, Enid, etc. Or that Rick is trying to rally the communities together. Well, what the hell, Eugene? LOL. It surprised me when he didn't go with them, but after thinking about it, I trust him. I think he's grown so much since he first joined the show that he has to have something he's working on. He's gaining Negan's trust or doing something to weaken them. I think he will do so much good work in the attack that he will prove himself to all the doubters. Love the idea that the shadow figure wasn't Daryl, but was Dwight. I really feel like he was going to turn on Negan and help our crew at some point, and this would be a good time for him to jump ship and give info. It's getting good, guys. Can't wait for Gregory to die. Keep up the great work.
So no, it's not. Thanks, Chris. Not waiting for Negan to die. I'm waiting for Gregory to die.
Right. You know, I do agree with that. I think Eugene is setting him up from the inside.
Then Eugene should have had the bike lock. And kept him out. I agree. I think that Eugene is working on a plan.
If you remember the couple episodes ago when Eugene kind of got appointed that job and it showed him walking away and he kind of had smiled, a smirk on his face.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he's gained their trust. He's in there. Now he's going to like, you know, because that's what Eugene does. You know, he fooled Abraham and all them into thinking that he was on a mission, right? To save his life. And I think he's done the same thing. He's gained Negan's trust and he's going to, you know, I think he's going to help Rick and them out.
Well, I hope so, because I like his character. So I hope he's doing good and not out of fear.
I just want to at least reiterate the fact that Chrissy said it's getting good, guys. So at least someone is on board with me that, you know, the show's not all bad. I mean, you get, you know, three of us didn't, you know.
No, like, I said it was okay.
You're saying that it was like a B-rated episode.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Okay.
There's some scenes in it, just like I said, when I'm watching something like this, it just frustrates me when people do stupid things.
There were some stupid moments, I'll agree.
Like I think the show, I'll relate it to the drinks tonight. You know, we've had a couple of shows where there were shots of tequila and they threw in a glass of Guinness.
What?
Well, Matt, she also said, keep up the great work. So she wants the tapping to continue by Russ. So
I can only imagine that when she says keep up the great work, she's talking about Jack and I. Why are you crapping on my Guinness? Okay. That is like the one beer that I can just take down and it doesn't give me a headache. Okay. So, you know, screw you. I like my Guinness. All right. It's St. Patty's Day still.
I like Sir Alec Guinness. That's just me.
He is my favorite Guinness, by the way.
Yeah. But I liked her. I didn't even think about that. Simon was writing his name down. If this guy shows up asking for me, shoot him because he's failed. I didn't even think about that. I think she's 100% right. What do you guys think?
I think Janet's right in the fact that she says Guinness is a great beer. Sorry.
So was she right? Was she right about that? Not to forget the beer part.
Okay.
If Gregory shows up, Mike, was she right?
Yes.
Okay, Russ.
Say that again.
No. All right. If Gregory shows up, she said, Simon gave him his name, show up and we'll have a good time. She said the only reason he said if someone shows up saying, hey, I'm Gregory looking for Simon, the guards are supposed to shoot and kill him because he's failed.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's Simon's way of like, I don't need you.
All right.
From the Jay and Jack Facebook group, a little bit more feedback here. There wasn't much on the chatter there, but Ethan does chime in. This episode is what happens when you separate the show's characters so that all the uninteresting people are in one group. So a little shade there from Ethan. So
I kind of agree. I mean, like I said, you did take out the meat and potato characters. And you didn't really have any. I mean, you had a little bit of Daryl. I think the Daryl and Maggie scene was nice. I just the whole scene with it. I think it was bugging me the whole. The plan is just stupid. It's going to hurt everybody. It's going to be do more harm than good. And I just don't like the plan.
Well,
go ahead,
Mike. CJ's comments from the chat. He says she's under a dump. Sasha's under a dumpster. She's not dead. We'll hear from her next season.
You know, the only thing that I can see good about this is I think
less characters.
I think Negan's group in their compound is a very hard defense, but if they can get him out, so if you know Sasha does attack them, I think they're gonna go out looking, and that weakens them when they're out and about.
But it would be perfect if everybody knew the plan,
right?
If the Hilltop knew the plan, if Alexander knew the plan, whoever the hoarders knew the plan, if everyone knew the plan, yeah, you want to draw them out of the compound.
Well, Jack, what if the plan is written on the inside of the friendship bracelet, and Eden gave it to everybody?
It's
all coming together.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is we don't know exactly the time frame of all this either. Like this, that could have been, you know, they have a good way of sometimes mixing up the episodes to where you're like, you know, we don't know next week if we don't see Rick's group talking to them and they're telling them, yeah, you know, we're going to go in there first. We're going to draw them out.
Then they should have, then we should, that's something we should see.
Yeah. But like they sometimes do it backwards.
I get it, but that's something we should see.
Right. But you don't know that. I mean, that could be a possibility.
I'll just leave this on a high note with something that Randy shared from the great Bill Murray, who tweeted out, "My life is like a never-ending episode of The Walking Dead where nothing happens, but somehow everything is messed up."
That sums it up pretty perfectly.
Of this podcast.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, thanks, Bill. That's it. That's all I got. Anybody else have anything else to add?
Well, we have some more comments from the chat. We have
okay.
CJ wants to know, is Rush drunk?
No.
Unfortunately, no, he's not.
And then we have Vizelov saying, "I predict this. Sasha will find Negan. She has a map."
But unfortunately, she ran out of bike locks, so she can't lock him up. Anything else?
I'm going to lock you guys up.
Tie a knot on it. Tie a knot? What kind of knot are you tying? Anyway,
Any more not jokes, Russ?
Knock, knock.
Right now.
That's it for Three Stupid Guys this week. If you'd like to help us out, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/jayandjack or go to Amazon and just go to jayandjack.com. Has all information there. We have all kinds of shows, a lot of shows coming up on the horizon. You can look on our face, join our Facebook group, and you can make comments, good or bad, on each episode. Sherry does a great job of putting a little picture of what's going on. She puts our phone number on there, our email. You can give us a call, all the fun stuff.
And send us an email at the Walking Dead, the number 3 SG at send us some feedback or retweet the show's link on Twitter, where you can follow us at Three Stupid Guys, and be entered in to win a special prize at the end of the season. We're going to put everybody's name in a hat. We'll draw it out.
It's three things. It's a friendship bracelet, a bike lock, and some rope to make knots. That's what the prize are.
We'll try to throw in a Jack in the Box taco too. It'll be greasy enough that you can comb your hair with it.
A bottle of Guinness. A bottle of Guinness.
Oh, whoa! I can't break the budget here.
Anyway,
under $5.
We thank all our patrons, but at this time we'll thank three special patrons: Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter-Glaffelder, and Molly the Millennial. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for joining us in the chat. It's always fun to have people in the chat, even though I can't figure out how to go on it. But I see there's four viewers there, four people chatting, and the only thing I ever see is Mike when Mike writes something in our little chat thing here. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing it, and thanks, guys. That's all I got.
Oh, great show, guys. One in a million.
See you next week.
Be good, fellas.
Bye.